Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We just give God all the praise. We give God all the praise. Hallelujah. We thank y'all. Hallelujah. Welcome those that are tuning in on Facebook and all the other platforms that we are connected to. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This day has been an awesome day. Just spending time with the Lord and just really seeing things is a blessing. Hallelujah. Do you know that there are those that can't see? Or even in the parables, Jesus says that I speak in parables. Hallelujah. But those that don't know him will not understand, but those that do will understand. Amen. Hallelujah. So in knowing him, hallelujah, and receiving him, there are things that were given that were some revelations for myself. Maybe not for some, but it was for me. Hallelujah. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into this. We're going to be going over the Ten Commandments over the next 10 Saturdays. Amen. This being the first Saturday. If I was to put a title to this message, it would be, Do You Love Yahweh? Do you love Yahweh? And you know, most of us would just say, yes, I do. I love him. Amen. But we really need to search our hearts. And we really need to understand what he says shows love for him. Amen. Because we may come with a worldly love. Amen. Hallelujah. But he has a particular way or a particular behavior or a particular stance as a child of God that shows our love for him. Amen. Hallelujah. If you can turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and 3, and we'll be going to John chapter 14 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and 9, and John chapter 14 and verse 15. And I'm going to give y'all just a little bit for those that are at home. Hallelujah. To go get your Bibles. Amen. Never come to a fight without your sword. Amen. We are in a fight on a daily basis, so we need to keep our sword in our minds and in our hands. Amen. Glory be to God. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. I'm not going to use this mic. My voice is deep enough. I can get it to travel. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and read Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we're going to read verse 9. And the Bible says, Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Get that. If we follow his commands, that the blessings will fall upon over 1,000 generations. That's the bloodline, 1,000 generations. Amen. Let's go to John chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says here, If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is a promise, or excuse me, a command, okay? There's over 166 commands that we as his children are commanded to do throughout the Bible, and this is one. If, now see, that's an if, so search your hearts. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. So how do we show the Lord that we love him? How do we show the Lord that we love him? Many say by having a relationship with him. And that's true. That's true. Amen. But it's more than just a relationship. It's loyalty. I'm gonna go here. Loyalty. Listen, The definition for loyalty is faithfulness to a prince or to a husband or lover. He had such loyalty to the king as the law required. That's just a little sentence that kind of brings everything together. So it's a loyalty. And when you're loyal, you're faithful. And when you're faithful, you believe. So if you are loyal to your boss and your boss said, I need you to work overtime, and you really don't feel like it because you had plans, but what are you going to say? If you're loyal, you're going to say okay and cancel your plans. Amen. So my question to you is, what is your loyalty to Elohim? What is your loyalty to Elohim? We all say that we love him, but we know we got some junk in our trunk that we need to get rid of. Amen. Hallelujah. We say we love y'all, but do we love money more? Do we love fame more? Do we love our position or our occupation more? What do you truly love? What is that thing that sits on the throne of your heart? We really need to examine ourselves. This is not a preachy word. This is a teachy word, okay? Examine yourself and truly ask yourself, what do I love the most? Here, let me help you. What do you think about? Whatever you think about the most, that is where your love is. Do you think about money? Do you think about your lover, your husband, your wife, your job, your profession, your success, your what do you think of? Hey, man, we got everybody going on Facebook and putting this and putting that and putting this and that. Do you feel that you? excuse me. Is your loyalty, is that thing on the throne of your heart, those likes that come in from everybody or the comments that come in from everybody, do these things mean more than Elohim? Mm-hmm. Because whatever it is that you're loyal to, you will follow. No matter the cost. Many people they have money upon their heart and the throne of their heart. That's their God. So what do? They do whatever they have to do to get money, whether it is selling drugs or selling their body or lying, cheating, stealing, and manipulating. But I got to get the money. See, in the music today, see, they're brainwashing our children, amen, by speaking of money, 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 amen, when they should be talking about Christ, 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 amen, because money ain't going to get you to heaven, amen, but Yahweh will, amen. So if we can see the brainwashing that's going on to drive our loyalty away from Elohim and put it into the world or ourself, amen, because what has happened is we love God, but I still love to do what I love to do, amen, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. You can't mix the two. The Bible says, if you love me, you will follow my commandment. This is a message for me as well as it is for you. Amen. So I hope y'all get some out of it, because I know I did when I studied it, and I'm going to get even more now. Amen. Hallelujah. What you love, you are loyal to, and you will follow. Ask yourself, what is it that I'm loyal to? What is it that I'm following? Are you following the ways of the world? Are you following these particular ways of getting money that maybe goes against your what you know is right? Amen. What is it? What is it that you love? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Let's go to the beginning so we can understand a little bit about these commands, because we must understand, when man was created, God put his law, his instructions to life in the heart of Adam and Eve. Amen. That's chapter 2 and verse 7. He put it in the heart of Adam and Eve. But in the fall, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's read. Chapter 2 and verse 7. Chapter 2 and verse 7. The word says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Amen. Let's go over here to chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth." 27 says, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them." And it goes on to 28 and says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply." Okay, I just want to say something here. See, this is what sex is for, people. Be fruitful and have sex and multiply. Amen? Have sex and multiply. So sex is not a activity. Sex is not, hallelujah. And it goes on to say, "And have dominion over the fish and every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So God placed in us the instructions that he had for us to live upon the earth, okay? When Elohim formed us, he put his law in our hearts, but in the fall of eating of the fruit, it says their eyes were open. That just always get me, because I'm like, wasn't their eyes open when they was, how could their eyes open? Were they blind? What's going on? But see, we got to realize that there's a spiritual us and there's a physical us. And when their eyes were, when they came to the earth, their eyes were open in the spirit. So they were walking in the cool of the day with the Lord in the spirit, because they were connected spiritually. Amen. But when they ate of the fruit, what happened is their spiritual eyes closed and their physical eyes opened, which means that they were led now by the flesh and not so much by the spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Their spiritual eyes were closed and their fleshly eyes were open. So we no longer follow his instructions, but our own fleshly desires. Go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. Let me show you. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. So we got a couple generations that came through. Amen. See, the enemy moved very slow. So a couple generations has gone by, and it says in chapter 6 and verse 1, "And it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth." Now that's what God said. He said, be fruitful and multiply. So they're multiplying, and daughters were born to them, and the son, that's not what I was looking for. Okay. It says in these times, amen, that there was so much wickedness going on in the land, hallelujah, that God said, I just hate that I created these individuals. Where is that? It's not three. One, I think it is. Okay, give me 1 minute. Let me find this. Amen. Yes, I'm done. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes. So what ended up happening is, as generations begin to come about, they begin to get more wicked and more wicked and more wicked. Amen. Hallelujah. So there it is. Okay. So chapter 6, verse 5, and it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." The wickedness of man was great in the earth. So what was beginning to take place is, now that they were not following the spirit, they were following their fleshly desires, not the desires of the heart of of Elohim, but of their own selves. So they're having orgies, drinking, and being merry, and all this kind of stuff. Same type of stuff we're doing today. Don't you know that there's nothing new under the sun? Everything repeats itself. It just looks a little bit different. Amen. Glory be to God. So with all the things of the world that man desired went against Elohim. So he had to find a way to get the instructions to life back into the hearts of men. Amen. He had to figure out, how can I get my instructions back into the heart of my people? Amen. Turn to Exodus chapter 20 in verse 2 and 3. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 and 3, we'll be reading. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 and 3. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He says, thou shalt have no other God before me. They shall have no other God before me. Let's take a look at this. Elohim reminded them who he was. He said, I am the Lord thy God. And then he reminds them what he has done for them. He says, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. God wants us to remember what it is that he has done for us. We all came from a mess. We all, our thinking was worldly. Our ways was worldly. Everything was worldly, and we were tired. And so we desired, we came to a church, and somebody came and spoke something that gave us some peace, some joy. And we churned. And repented and came into the house of the Lord. But the Bible tells us that there's, in the last days, there'll be many false prophets, false teachers, hallelujah, leading people astray, letting them do what they want to do. I'm not going to go there. All right, amen. Amen. God wants us to remember the mess and bondage he brought us out of. But do we? Do we remember where we were at when we gave our lives to the Lord? For me, it's probably the fourth or fifth time, because I done went out and came back. But God is merciful. God is merciful. You know, the enemy always wants to tell us that, you know, if you backslid and you've come back into the things of God, he wants to tell you God ain't going to receive. God don't love you. He's going to tell you all this negative stuff. Because he doesn't want you to get back in position to fulfill your purpose upon the earth. Because believe me, there are people waiting for each and every one of us to get things right so that we can come to them and give them the gospel and they can be saved. But it's up to us to love the Lord our Elohim. He said he brought them out of a country. He separated you from the rest of the world. He separated. When he took them out of Egypt, he took them to a place and left Egypt here. He separated them. Amen. So this is what it means by the word holy, of being separated. Separated. The problem with the church today is the church looks like the world. So how is it that it's holy? Holy is separated. So you should be able to tell black from white. But everything is beginning to turn gray, and that's not God. Amen. We must walk holy and be holy. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. Those that know me, I tend to go through the Bible. So if you don't know the books of the Bible, hang out. You will by the time, you will, amen. We're going to Matthew chapter 13. and verse 24. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. Oops, that's marked. That was marked. All right. All right. Amen. Amen. I hope y'all getting something out of this. I'm still kind of setting some things up here. 13 and 24. All right, here we go. The Bible reads, we're going to read down 24. We're going to read down to 30. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, another parable, but he forced unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who soweth good seed in the field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blades were sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the bond, a householder, came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From hence then has it tares. Verse 28, he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we do and gather them up? Verse 29, but he said, nay, least will ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Verse 30, let both grow together the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reaper, gather ye together first the tare, and bind them in a bundle, and burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn, and gather the wheat into the barn. So in this parable, it's telling us that the evil tare are the tare and the wheat are coming up together. You really can't tell them too much apart. You really can't tell them too much apart. The Bible tells us that in the last days, there will be false prophets, false teachings. Amen. Many are being deceived by the tare behind the pulpit and being led astray. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. Amen. The Bible says, study the word to show thyself approved. Okay? It doesn't say, go to church and listen to the pastor and take it for face value. Study the word for yourself and let the Holy Spirit, which gives us truth, be your guide. Amen. In Exodus 20 and 3, when they left Egypt, they had a mindset that followed Egypt's culture. So the culture that was in Egypt, this is what was in their minds, which was in their feelings and emotions, which was in their behaviors and how they act and how they live. So when Moses came and he pulled them out of Egypt, it says, and when he pulled them out of Egypt, God wanted at that time in the wilderness to begin to change their thinking, change their mindset, which would change their thought pattern and emotions and behaviors. Amen. Hallelujah. But how many of you know, as they were going through those rough patches, they were looking back. They wanted to go back. They wanted to eat the meat that they were so accustomed to. All of that stuff that they had, they wanted to go back to, even though they were in slavery and in bondage. Amen. Isn't it something that we are doing the same thing today? Amen. We are looking back, hallelujah, at some of the stuff that we may have missed coming out of our own Egypts. Amen. And the enemy is tugging at us to go back to that thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Lot's wife. Amen. When the angels came and told Lot, amen, that get your family together because God's about to tear this whole thing up. Amen. And Lot and his family went, and his wife, who was attached to the culture, amen, she looked back. Amen. See, when you're scared of something, you ain't looking back. You running. But if you're leaving somewhere that you love, or you're leaving, you know, some a place that has the things that you desire, you know, you're gonna go, but you're gonna look back because you miss it. Amen. You miss it. Hallelujah. So as we know, that generation did not make it in. Hallelujah. But it was the next generation that knew nothing about Egypt and took and followed the commands that God had for his people. And they made it in. Amen. So we don't want to be those people that got stuck and died in the wilderness, saying that we love God, but not following his commands. Amen. The number one commandment that he gives us. Go to Matthew 22. We're going to go to Matthew 22, verse 34. Matthew 22 and verse 24. I'm almost done here, people. All right, and 34. 22 and 34. Amen. All right, 22 and 34. All right, here we go. So the Bible reads, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together." So they tried to bamboozle Jesus, but he came so eloquently with some wisdom from on high that they didn't know what they had nothing to say. Verse 35. "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind.'" We're going to stop right there real quick. So the Bible tells us the greatest command that God had given from the beginning of time is we are to love Yahweh with all of our heart. What's your heart? Your thoughts and your feelings. Your soul. What is your soul? Your inner being. The real you. And your mind. What's your mind? Your imagination. Your mind. Your understanding. We are to love him with all of that. That's our whole, the whole you. Amen? So my question to you is, do you love God with all of you? Or do you love him with a part of you? But then you still got that other part that loves what's going on out in the streets in the world and all this other stuff. Amen. Now we grow in our love for Yahweh. I mean, it's just like any relationship. The more time you spend with an individual and you get to know them and you bond, you begin to create a loyalty or trust. And from that trust, because how many of you know nothing can be built, any type of relationship, without trust? And trust comes from communication. Amen. We grow in our love for Yahweh, but that only comes from the reading and studying of his word and deep prayer. Amen. See, when you love someone, how many of you remember when you was in high school and you had that boyfriend or that girlfriend, you know, and y'all on the phone and it's 7:30 p.m. and y'all don't get off the phone until 1 a.m. Or maybe you done fell asleep and the phone, you wake up and the phone's next to you and you know, spending that time. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you You got some feelings for this female or this young man, amen. So you want to give them all the time you got. You staying on the phone with them. You ain't on the phone. You're walking with them. You're always together. That is what God. We need to love Yahweh. We need to love Yahweh. And the way that we grow in loving him is by studying his word and with deep prayer. The Bible says, again, study the word to show thyself approved. But as you study, you're beginning to understand what he likes, what he doesn't like, what makes him happy, what makes him sad, what makes him laugh, what makes him cry. You will begin to understand Yahweh. But how can you love someone you don't know? Amen. Here, if I was to tell you about an individual, amen, hallelujah, but you meet this individual, does that mean you know him? You see, we need to study the word for ourselves, not just listening to your leader, amen, because listening to your leader isn't building the relationship. What's building the relationship is you, God's word, and the Holy Ghost together studying and getting revelation and understanding out of his word through the Spirit of God. Now, your leader, your pastor, is there to make sure you don't go to the left or to the right because, you know, sheep are dumb. So a sheep herder, his job is when a sheep goes left, he goes, get the little thing, and gets them back in line. Pastors, we're not doing our job. Too much stuff is going on in the church that has nothing to do with Yahweh. It got everything to do with Satan. And we need to turn that around quick, fast, and in a hurry. The Bible tells us in verse 39, same book, chapter 22, verse 39 of Matthew. It says, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love our neighbors as thyself. So like unto, what does that mean? It means similar to. So similar to loving God, you must love your neighbor. Amen. The thing that I don't understand is how can we love our neighbors when some of us don't even love ourselves? How can you give something that you don't have? We perpetrate like we love ourselves. You know, we put on these fancy clothes and the women put on all this makeup and these fancy hairdos and this and that and the third, but they don't love themselves. But they want somebody else to. Amen. We must first love ourselves, and through Yahweh and prayer, he will help you through that thing, whatever it was that took place in your life that is making you feel like you're unlovable, because everybody is lovable. Why? Because you're a child of the living God. Amen. We are to love our neighbors as thyself. So my question to you, do you love yourself? Do you even like yourself? Because that's where it starts. Love yourself, then you can love others. Amen? But it's God that is going to give you that love. So we must love him first. The Bible goes on to say, in verse 40, it says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On those two commands, all of the other eight commands would be fulfilled. Why? Because you love God and you love people. Amen. You love God. The first two, I think it's two or three commandments is dealing with God. The rest is dealing with people. And if you love God and you love people, you will fulfill the commands. So why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult? We have so many things pulling at us and tugging at us in the world today. We have technology that pulls and distracts us. We have TV shows that has programmed our minds to think a certain way and to be a certain way. Do you know that the Satan is over Hollywood? All of these shows and all of this music and all of this stuff, even Christian music. If you realize, there's a lot of Christian artists that are teaming up with those that are in the world, in the mainstream R&B artists. Amen? Yeah, so we have to be very mindful, because again, remember, the Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. So we say, be separated, for I am separated of this world. I am not like this. You know, I'm like this. So we need to stay in his word. Amen. I'm going to close with this. This is the first commandment, to love Elohim with all of our being. But the world has taken our minds and desires away from Yah. How has he done this? With all the distractions. Remember, see, the church today is moving on do what you feel. Well, I'm going to say the world, but it's crept into the church. Because guarantee you, there are going to be some folks that's going to be going out tonight, but there'll be a church first thing in the morning. Amen? Amen? So it's do what you feel, not do what God says do. And this is what we need to get back to. Remember, the Bible says, if you love me, you will follow my command. So how do we show Yahuwah that we love him? By following his command. This is a process, people. It's a process. Amen. So don't assume that if you have some things that you're looking at in your life right now and you're like, how am I going to get rid of all this stuff? Take it to the Lord. He will help you. He will guide you. He will remove those individuals that don't need to be in your life. He will remove those things that don't need to be in your life. But it's not going to happen the way you expect it to, because God's ways are not our ways. And his thoughts on our thoughts. So however he does it, follow him. The Bible says when temptation comes that God always gives an out. Amen. So if you have a problem with porno, maybe you need to give up your phone. That's a good out. And turn off the laptop. Good out. Amen. If you have a problem with drugs and alcohol, maybe you need to not go into the cannabis stores. Amen. Or stay out of the beer section now. That's an out. Amen. But see, what the enemy does is he draws us to those things that our flesh desires. Amen. And then he puts in our mind how good it will make us feel. Amen. What did he do with Eve? He told her, did God not say that you can eat it? And she looked at the fruit, and it looked, and what it could do for her. His tricks are the same, people. But we've been so dumbed down, amen, that we can't even see it. And we fall into the trap. I've fallen into the trap, amen. I thank God for his mercy and his grace, amen. He'll restore you. He'll restore you. But you have to make the first move. You have to make the first move. Let's pray. Father, in the name of your son, Yahuwah, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. Father, in your word, you tell us to love you with all of our being. Forgive us, Lord, for we have fallen short. For some, a part of us is still in the world, but we love you. For those, Father God, I pray that you will give them the willingness to be willing to pull that other foot over the fence and run for the border to your kingdom. Hallelujah. For those that may not know you, hallelujah, we just pray, Father God, that they may come to you, confess their sins, repent, and allow your spirit to enter into them to guide them for the rest of their life. Father, I thank you for this word, for it really touched me. And I hope that it's touched those that have listened. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach the Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 People of God, I want to thank you for tuning in. Hallelujah. We have some deliverance to do on this afternoon, so we're going to be cutting off. But I do want to let you know we'll be going over the second commandment next Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you're in the Seattle area, come on down. Hallelujah. The address will be on Facebook. And for those that are not, I hope to see you next Saturday live on Facebook or any of the other social platforms that we are airing on. Until then, walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.